See, I want you to be grounded in this particular scripture. So I want you to pay really close attention to this. And I want you to see how this unfolds in the scripture. So I'm wanting more scripture than I can probably focus on real well under this light here, just out of my Bible. That's the reason that I'm using some. Hey, they don't get much better than you, I don't think. You speak English, right? That's all we require around here. No, he really speaks whatever that is in New Orleans.
People can understand me now here, though.
All right, are you ready, Mike?
Well, where are we? I wasn't paying attention.
All right. Well, I want everybody to turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. Now, you may be familiar with this story. And it's about how Naaman has the opportunity to get healed of leprosy, but he doesn't like the way God wants to do it. Now, the Lord spoke to me, you know, out of this other scripture, which I have here out of 1 Samuel 10:25. You don't need to turn there, but let me just tell you what this says. Then Samuel told the people the manner of the kingdom and wrote it in a book and laid it before the Lord, and Samuel sent all the people away, every man to his house. The manner of the kingdom is what God revealed to the prophets as he began to release them into their ministry. We need to understand, because we have, the church has come to the place now where we are moving into the supernatural, the ministry of the last days. We can no longer function in churchianity or in any of these denominationalism mentalities that we have had. We must get into the Word of God and function by the manner of the kingdom. Okay, Samuel cared enough about it. He wrote it in a book and laid it up before the Lord and before the people. Okay, Mike, if you'll just read and I'll interrupt you occasionally.
Starting at 1?
Yes.
Now Naaman, captain of the army of the king of Aram, was a great man with his master and highly respected, because by him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was also a valiant warrior, but he was a leper. Now the Arameans had gone out in bands and had taken captive a little girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, "I wish that my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he would cure him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus spoke the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Aram said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothes. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "And now as this letter comes to you, behold, I have sent Naaman my servant to you, that you may cure him of his leprosy."
Number one, what is your healing worth to you? In this case, not even Naaman, the one who needed to be healed, but the king, who so appreciated his services and saw his value, was now able and was in a position and saw the need to send before him, as he requested to the king of Israel, that Elisha heal him. Now, it is a great thing to be healed of leprosy. It's a great thing to be healed of headaches, if you have one. But it is especially a great thing to be healed of that which is debilitating, that which causes you to not be able to do your work or to serve God the way you want to, or to have enough strength to go on the journeys that you need. I had this prophet call me yesterday. I never heard him. He said he ministered in Mark Sharona's church several times this year. And he said he just felt that he had a word for me. And the word was that the nations were calling, and what had seemed impossible is now immediately going to turn to absolutely possible. And he said, "You will hear the call from the nations, not just to come and minister, but for your input." And I just am thinking, as he is saying these things, when God wants a thing to be done, then It is also his responsibility, and he will work to make that thing possible. Now, in this particular case, the Lord, of course, wants to heal Naaman. And the king who is covering Naaman, gets together what he thinks would be the value of Naaman's healing. Now, if I would ask you today, you know, some of you have chronic diseases. You're okay, aren't you, Mike? I mean, you can stand with me, okay? Some of you have chronic diseases. Some of you have very painful diseases. Some of you have things that have been discouraging to you. Some of you have things that cause you to not want to do what it is that you should be doing. In other words, it holds you back. I don't believe that diseases and afflictions are supposed to hinder us from doing what God wants us to do. And so, can you put a price on that? Well, here's the price. I just sort of did the math on this by today's standards, the amount of silver and gold, not counting the clothing, that the king sent was $600,000 in silver and $3,360,000 in gold. It's almost $4 million. This secular man who worshipped the god Rimmon knows that if he can find someone that can heal his servant that is so valuable to him, that he will gladly yield up the $4 million. Because the only way he knows to calculate is that you put something in and you get something out. What is your healing worth to you? Go ahead, Mike.
Sorry. And it came about when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man is sending word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? But consider now and see how he's seeking a quarrel against me." And it happened when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent word to the king saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Now let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and his chariots and stood at the doorway of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was furious and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper." I'm sorry, it's funny to me. "Are not these two rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Then his servants came near and spoke to him and said, "My father, had the prophet told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child.
Now, all he had to do was obey what he was told to do by the man of God. Of course, he had this problem. "Behold, I thought." See, really and truly, we worship at the shrine of our own intellects. A lot of thoughts we have is nothing more than the enemy inserting thoughts into our minds to keep us from thinking like God. When you think as the word is written, now you have begun to think like God. Even the servants of Elisha had more understanding than Elisha had. More understanding than Naaman had. And so when we see this, and the king of Aram, had more understanding of the value of Naaman's healing than he did. You know what? I think we have to be convinced the value of our healing. God really wants you healed. You see, we have been told, oh, well, you know, just give it time, time, time. Oh, I know there are time things that it takes the body some time to work out. But Jesus is the healer. And you can't just count on time to heal you. Jesus is the one who said he would do the healing. We have a tendency not to require of God what he said we could have. It's a promise. It's a covenant. He said healing belongs to us. Do we place the same value on that healing that God does? So here is this pagan king, this unbelieving king, that has the understanding that it is very, very valuable for his servant to be healed. You know, there have been times that I've prayed for some of you, and I have said to the Lord, Lord, these people are very valuable in your kingdom. These people are very helpful to me. These people help us pray. These people help us get the vision. These people help us with the prophetic. Lord, heal your servants. Sometimes you don't even appreciate the value of your own life. If you are working to the maximum of your gifting that you have, then you have begun to get a little understanding. I'm valuable to God. I'm allowing that which he gave me to be used for his glory. So if we understand this, first of all, Naaman did not understand the value of his healing, so much so that he was willing to argue about the way the healing came. Now, we think we wouldn't be that way, don't we? Well, first of all, you've read this scripture, and you know that God might ask you to go dip in some river seven times. But on the other hand, I mean, we're just Americans. We like the even softer spoken healers better than we do the ones that harangue and yell and scream. But I don't care what they do as long as we come out well. I mean, really, you can't change people's personalities to get your healing. God seems to use people. Now, I had this question. Why did he have this information get to Naaman by a servant girl who actually told his wife? It wasn't even firsthand. It's not according to protocol. None of it's according to protocol. What kind of prophet is Elijah that doesn't realize what a great man Naaman is next to the king? What does he mean coming up in his chariot and sending a message inside? Are you kidding? I thought he would at least strike the place where the leprosy was. I at least want to have hands laid on me. I don't want to be healed by word of knowledge. I don't want to be told to go home and get into the word and apply that for myself for 21 days. Now, if you want to be well on the other side of it, what difference does it make? You know, in America, we put oil on people's foreheads very gently, making sure that we don't get any on there. I've been in meetings, they've done it to me and they've done it to other people. They just turn up the bottle of oil and it goes all over your good clothes and everything. I was even in a meeting once where, this man had a great ministry. And the prophet was Victor, poured aisle, as they call it, oil, into this little flat thing and had him drink it. Well, I'm not going to do that. What is it? What is it with us? Why? I mean, if you read your scripture, you're going to see a number of things you wouldn't have done it that way. See, Joan told me that she couldn't press my clothes till we took the tags off. I just thought you'd enjoy this. I said, well, I'm not really sure till I try it. I like to do that before I take the tags off. I don't even know if I want you to press. Go ahead and press them, and if they're really okay, then we'll take the tags off. She said, well, I've never seen anybody do it that way. And I said, you have now. But then I found it fascinating. And I said, I need to engage you in a little conversation about this. Does it hurt the tags? You don't even touch them? Is there any particular reason why we can't do it in the reverse order? No. I just never saw anybody do it that way. Now, I never saw anybody drink olive oil. I hope my number doesn't come up next. Look! That's what we do in America for a liver cleanse. I just want to know, how many things are there we just cannot imagine God would ask us to do it that way? Happy birthday, Joan. The ways of the kingdom. Everybody say the ways of the kingdom.
Ways of the kingdom.
Okay, let's go, Mike.
When he returned to the man of God with all his company and came and stood before him, he said, behold now, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So please take a present from your servant now. But he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will take nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, if not, please let your servant at least be given 2 mules load of earth, for your servant will no more offer burnt offerings, nor will he sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. In this manner, may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, and I bow myself When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, may the Lord pardon your servant in this matter.
Now, what was it worth to Elisha for this man to be healed? Whatever it was worth, he sent straight to God.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't he have just taken a little bit? Maybe just enough for his next journey? Maybe just enough for his servants? He said, no, I won't take anything at all from you. Now notice. Then Naaman's response is, then do me this favor. Let me have 2 loads of dirt to put on my donkey to take with me, and I will only sacrifice from this day to your God. I will take the place, I will take the dirt from the place where the presence of God touched my body, made me whole, changed my life. That's the value, not the $4 million. When Elisha is there to interpret the value, the very dirt on which the man was healed is of value. The money is nothing. You know, Victor told me that Michael Jackson, his bed and the linens and the pillows and everything on it were valued at $200,000. Yet he died trying to get to sleep. You know this, don't you? He died from an overdose of an anesthetic. Because it was impossible. Sleep was impossible to him. That's nervous breakdown. Sleep was impossible to him. What good is a $200,000 bed if you can't sleep? What good are any material things if you can't have the physical well-being to enjoy it? I promise you today, church, that we have spent a lot of time going after the money, going after the dollars, even going after the things. But the moment that your health begins to give way on you, you begin to understand what's valuable in life. Just let me take some dirt home with me where the presence of God came and healed me, because that is my value in life. Where I can be healed, that place is the place of value. Ed, Mike?
And he said to him, "Go in peace." So he departed from him some distance. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, "Behold, my master has spared this Naaman the Aramean by not receiving from his hands what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him." So Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw one running after him, he came down from his chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, just now two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the hill country of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of clothes." And Naaman said, "Be pleased to take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of clothes and gave them to two of his servants, and they carried them before him. When he came to the hill, he took them from their hand and deposited them in his house. And he sent the men away, and they departed. But when he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" And he said, "Your servant went nowhere." Then he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive clothes and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and male and female servants? Therefore, the leprosy of Naaman shall cleave to you and to your descendants forever." So he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow.
Now when it's time for the healing power of God to set captives free, when it is time for deliverance, when it is time for restoration, when God is moving, when His presence is there, it is time to receive what God wants to give us. It is not a time to receive money and clothes and servants and things and vineyards. In other words, get your mind off of it. It's not a time to even think about it. It's not a time to, don't try to mix those two things together. You know the great healing ministry of the 50s? You know, you could have made the choice, like Beverly was telling me one day, that in the early 50s, that she was in meetings where, who ministered, Beverly? Oral Roberts and somebody else, Allen, A.A. Allen. And that she described to me some marvelous things she saw, because healing was flowing like a river. God's getting ready to release it again. It probably won't look just like that, because William Branham had a vision that instead of in the large places, people were going to come into smaller places, and the Lord was going to heal them one at a time. They would come in, and they would go out. I believe that means His glory is going to come in the church. Not this time in tents that have to go around, but in the church where God's people are, and that God's people are going to be used in healing people. That will not be a time of receiving gifts. I'm trying to stay a step ahead of where God's taking us. It won't be a time of taking advantage of anybody's weakness. It will be a time of generosity. It will be a time of giving away that which God has been so generous to give to you, and not looking for anything back in return. I want you to see this from Gehazi. Where there's greed, then there's dishonesty. I just think I'll take just a little bit of this. And then the next thing is, you have to lie to the one who told you you shouldn't have been doing that. Anytime, believe me, you give yourself to greed and you just want more and more and more, then you're going to give yourself to dishonesty. The more you give yourself to the spirit of greed, the more you'll be willing to yield what the commitments of your character have been in time past. Don't do it. Don't sell out for a few more garments, a little more gold, a little more silver. Because we're getting ready to enter into a time of blessing where there will be temptation. And where you will have opportunity. I have had opportunities through the years. I had a man call, a pastor call once when I was, just at that time, I really was needing money. Just happened. It was just a test. Please come. I need you now. I need you for this right now. I said, I just really can't do it right now. No, but I need you. Please, I'll just tell you in advance. I'll give you $4,000 if you do this. I said, I really can't do it for anything because I just can't do it right now. There will be opportunities. There will be opportunities where God will say to us, will you be true to what really matters to me? See, generosity is the pathway to revival. Elisha refused to take money. He refused to take advantage of the people needing God's healing power. And I loved it when Smith Wigglesworth said, if God gives you a healing gift, he also will give you a long-suffering gift. Because you'll never be able to minister healing if you can't put up with things about people. They won't come in like little princy feathers. And if you really had a gift of healing, they're liable to knock you down to try to get it from you. People get really desperate. That's all right. I'd rather have people, after all, by God's grace, we can take care of ourselves. And let him send in the harvest and let their needs be met. I wondered about Naaman. What is in man that he would be disobedient to the prophet and miss being delivered from his life-threatening illness? But really, there are people who have life-threatening illnesses today. They won't even come to a church that ministers in healing to be prayed for. That's being disobedient to what God's word has said. But I believe that there's coming a day when people are going to believe again. Why did Naaman despise the prophet's direction? You know, he said, aren't our rivers as good as your rivers? Isn't that funny? Why are we so picky about where something happens? I don't want to go. You know, I would have gone there, but it was too far. I was too tired. I knew it was going to cost too much. Heidi Baker said to me, I believe you have a parasite. In order to get it healed, you have to be willing to go a long distance. The Lord required it of both me and Roland. Hello. Only BC. That's across the United States and up north to Canada. And I went there a few times. By the way, I didn't think it was far at all, considering what I got out of it. The first time I ever went, you know, because nobody even had any idea what it was. It's just, well, we don't know. Well, we don't know. Maybe we'll give you this or that to see if it can show us what you might have. And so when I get hold of this man that shows it to me in my blood under a microscope, and he says, here it is. Yeah, he said, it's a bad one. But we can fix it. It's a lot to do with values. But he took offense at the message that came to him. You know, sometimes we can just have religious pride. We can have national pride. We can have a disagreement of values. We can have an unwillingness to embrace God's values. And an unwillingness to change the things that we value. I think that if we really value healing, our healing, and other people's healing, I believe God's going to start giving us revelation. Because the scripture makes it clear that to him that has, more will be given. And he says, If you give, and it shall be given to you, good measure shaken together. If you continue to give, then God will continue to give revelation to you. If you continue to tithe, the scripture says the windows of heaven will be open to you, and he'll continue to give you revival, healing, and miracles, gift, revelation. It comes to the person who first is generous and willing to give. Why did the Lord send this humble little servant woman? Isn't it amazing how God does that? Sent this humble little servant woman to tell him about it. Why? Well, that was really quite a hurdle for him to get over there. It's a wonder he hadn't gotten mad then. What do you mean? Why didn't this come to me directly from some prophet somewhere? You know, I don't know. Why did he have Jesus be born in a stable? Why did he have the woman at the well with the bad reputation? Why was she the first preacher of the gospel? I wouldn't have picked her. I'd been afraid you couldn't trust her. She'd get hooked up in some wrong relationship before she ever got there with a message. Ain't that how we think? He just uses people like that. Why did he call a tax collector? People hated him. So you see, can you see with me that there's a lot of questions? There can be a lot of questions. Unless we commit ourselves to the manner of the kingdom. You know, we tend to be people that are afraid to be generous. We do have, I mean, there's a person who calls me about every 3 months and calls me for a little while, and I forget their number, and then they move around and they get a number. It's a scam thing. And they try to tell me that I owe something. I finally got them to send me some paperwork. It was a problem. It was made out to Shekinah Baptist Church. There were a few problems like that that showed it was obviously not mine. And so I told them that it wasn't mine and so forth. So now if I know the number, if I recognize it, I just don't answer it at all. But you see, and then as soon as I hear the person's voice, I just hang up. But here's the thing. We've been scammed. We've been taken advantage of. But I'm going to tell you, somebody won't take advantage of you. God. And God's ways are meant to only prosper you. His word says that everything he wants to give you is to prosper you and not to harm you. So when we see this, then I wanted to just give you this one other verse that goes with that scripture I read you about the ways of the kingdom. It was in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 26 and 27. Saul also went with him to Gibeah, and there went out with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. But the children of Belial, meaning rebellion, said, "How shall this man save us?" And they despised him and brought him no presents, but he held his peace. This is Samuel. They were not willing to acknowledge Samuel. Now, Samuel, that's the verse just after it says, Samuel wrote the manner of the kingdom and laid the book up for the Lord to see and for the people to see, the manner of the kingdom. And a part of the manner of the kingdom of God is that when you recognize and acknowledge the great gift that God gives and that his people give, then there comes a generous heart where you want to give back. They should have been bringing him presents. There were plenty of people that went with Samuel. The ones who refused to were the ones that were not prospered. You know, as we received the offering during our meetings that we had last week, it was beautiful to see and to contemplate what blessing might come on God's people. It's also wonderful how the prophet was able to bring that challenge. And let me just tell you just a little bit about that. I'm almost finished here. This is about the ways of the kingdom. I just want you to know the manner of the kingdom. This is not like going to work and putting in your time and punching your time card. It's the ways of the kingdom. They're just not like this. God has different ways. But I was thinking as when I handed Prophet Victor his check, his honorarium, he put his hand on that and he said, "Lord, I receive this as a seed and I plant it, directing all the harvest to go to Shekinah Church." That's quite a multiplication. And he said to me, he said, "You know, and I do, I know some things about places that he speaks, the huge masses of people that are there. And that means, of course, that people give marvelously at times like that." But he said to me, and he has said it before, "If you ever feel that you need me to be there, wherever I am in the world, I will find a way to make arrangements to come to you. And don't ever think about money. Don't ever let that be a question. Because God has joined our hearts together." And he said, "As your people plant seed into my ministry, this keeps us connected together." And he said, "We have a joining of love together whereby can bring prophetic covering to them." And he said this to me, "I'm really sorry that it's been so long." You know, he's been building churches three or four places. He's been involved in a huge ministry in Zimbabwe, huge meetings where one man that he works with, in 4 months, they had 17,000 people come to the Lord. So, and he is also going to introduce me to this young man who is also a prophet. And if he comes to America, we'll just see if we can get the magnet working to bring him here while he's in this direction. You'll like him. He speaks more like this. He's very easy to understand. I know. It's not always easy to understand the people that God sends us, is it? I've had some people say to me before, I can't understand these people. And I said, "Well, they can't understand you either." I mean, English, I'm talking American English, is not the only language spoken. And by the way, some of them speak the King's English. And that's why they have a problem sometimes understanding us. And so I just wanted to say to you that receiving those offerings, that we were able to give a nice honorarium to him, to Victor, and to his ministry. He sponsors many orphans and widows and all of the ministry that he's involved in. It's really a beautiful ministry. But, you know, we're going to be able, out of that, to complete this project that we have up here. We're going to put a completely new face on the launch pad and, you know, tear down that ramp and put up something that's going to be just very attractive. It's just going to be sparkling and beautiful. And we'll be able to take some steps like that that we've been meaning to take. So it's just wonderful, the manner of the kingdom. See, the Lord knows how to bring it all together and how to put everybody in a place of blessing to receive it. All right, let me finish up here. I want to remind you that Victor prophesied and said it has taken 40 years to build this altar. And there have been those of you that have sacrificed and paid the price for this altar to be built. An altar is a place where you connect with and meet with God. Then he said, I went back to the CD and got the words exactly. He said, there will be an altar erected right here, he said, on this podium. And I don't know if that means, he said on this pulpit. And I don't know if it means on the pulpit or on the altar. Won't it be funny if one of these days we find ourselves building it up at this level because of some other kind of building we have? That's not important. But the fact is that he says, the altar erected right on this altar, and I see that there is oil falling on it. And anybody that runs to the altar goes back either healed or delivered. Revival is on this altar, and God is in this church. God is here, and I can see it and feel it. It is so visible. You know, when you think about the oil of heaven coming for healing, you're not talking about trying to get people healed. You're talking about God healing them directly from heaven. It's called supernatural, spiritual healing. And I do believe that God is getting ready to move in ways like this that will be so absolutely marvelous. And let me just give you this thought. We saw the mistake that Naaman made. He wanted it his way. Hey, why don't you write your ways down on a piece of paper, roll them up in a ball, and throw them in the fire? And embrace the manner of the kingdom. And I see that God uses the humble things like the little maid. And some of the people that he uses in our midst and some that he sends to us will be those that we feel are humble people. And the Lord is going to cause us to put great value on the things that are going to be, that are truly valued, so we can really go after those things. And then the important thing is, and hear me now, the Lord's going to put it in our hearts that generosity brings revival, and we will not be as Gehazi wanting to clutch something for ourselves, but we will minister with open hands, expecting nothing in return, but being willing to give of ourselves and to sacrifice. Not give ourselves to greed, which leads to dishonesty. Not even in the realm of the gifts and how we're used of God. Well, why did God use that person? Why didn't he use me? That's greed. That's covetousness. I want to tell you something. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. It comes from God. And sometimes God puts a person in a calling that really is not as gifted as you are. So if you're having an argument with God, just call that the last one. And quit arguing about it. And know that even if you are more gifted, God has chosen his people for his reason. Now, best thing you can do once you get to that place is say, this is the person who has the call to do that. I'm going to do everything I can to support and help and undergird that person so that we can all honor and acknowledge each other's ministry. And when we develop that culture of honor in this house, then there will be a spirit of agreement and unity where God can do his work and where we can make his name great. Is he a great God? Let's stand together. We love you, Lord. We love you in this place today. Lord, how we praise you and thank you. We thank you for these days that we had with the prophet. And we thank you that he'll be coming back to us next year, we think. And we praise your name.